Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DecibelProducts.com Comic Book Podcast. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Amazon and Amazon.ca. They're Amazon, and Amazon for Canadians. Click the links at the bottom of the page, or check out any of the banner ads on the site, and go get awesome stuff from Amazon. And I would recommend signing up for Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is a great service, really affordable, and it gives you free shipping, like free next day shipping on a bunch of stuff. It is a great deal.
Affordable is a relative term. I mean, I can't afford it. I would get it if I could.
Yeah. Affordable if you have money. You know, if you're not like, if you are in relatively decent financial standing, you can probably afford Amazon Prime. If you're like us, then probably not. So anyway, yeah. That's what we're going to be doing. Amazon, we're brought to you by that. While we don't have as wide a breadth of products as Amazon, we do have our own stuff. So please head over to DecibelProducts.com/store, which was recently updated with, I believe, a new design and lower prices.
Couple new designs, actually.
Couple new designs and lower prices. So now t-shirts will only cost you $15, which is a pretty good price for a t-shirt, I think.
Hoodies are $33.
Uh-huh. Which, a pretty decent price for a hoodie. I think, presumably. I don't know much about clothes.
Hoodies are expensive.
Yeah, hoodies are expensive. So $33 for a hoodie. Pretty good deal. So as always, we're accepting new design ideas and art and stuff for like different clothing. If you have a design idea that you think we'd like, please don't hesitate to send it to buffywan@desdoorprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you submit art and we like it and we use it on stuff, we would pay you based on how well the products we put it on sell. If you have a design idea, well, we'd love to hear from you. Unfortunately, we can't pay you if we use it. We can credit you, but we can't pay you. Sorry, it's business stuffs. So again, that is buffywan@desdoorprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. And it's the time of year again. Desdoor Prods is doing Extra Life 2013. For those who don't know, Extra Life is a 24-hour gaming marathon to help raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals in our area. This year, Desdoor Prods is playing for the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. There's a big link at the bottom of the page, or just a big picture. Or you can go to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life and donate. All donations go directly to hospitals, and all donations are tax-deductible, so there's that. But if you can't donate, but you still want to help out, please join the team and help us fundraise. We can use any amount of help we get. We are trying to raise $1,000 to help out Sick Kids Foundation. So please, go to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. There's a big link at the bottom of the page. And donate or join the email's fundraise. Just spread the word. Let people know that we're doing this. It's all going toward good cause, people. I'm your host, The Dead Man, and I am weirdly tired and kind of dizzy.
That is strange for you. Like, you're not usually the tired one. I'm the person who's old and lame.
Yeah. And that's both of you on.
Yep. He's old and lame.
Oh, God. So, yeah, sorry we didn't put out this last week. You know, E3 happened.
I tried to be helpful.
Yeah, my arms still hurt from doing all the work and typing and stuff. And sorry that our live blogs failed. If you were
It wasn't our fault.
No, LiveBlog Pro is shit. So anyway. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, comics. So, you know what? In fear of passing out, I'll go first with my stuff. So, everyone, what is your first pick for my list?
My first pick on your list is Kick-Ass 3, issue 1.
Yeah, so Kick-Ass is back for a third series. I think there's actually 6 covers released for this. And I think it's like,
a bit excessive.
Yeah, and I think it was like, it had a message across them. It had a message across all 3 of them. I mean, all 6 of them. I'll actually try to pull this up here. Come on, get the fuck up there. Da-dun. Okay, so yeah, it says evil prevails when good men do nothing. Across all of them. So if you want that full message, you'll need to buy the comic 6 times.
And this is why actually buying the comic is not good for people who, you know, cover comics, because How are we supposed to know about this message?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, so Kick-Ass 3. It takes place after the events of Kick-Ass 2, obviously, where Hit Girl is in jail. She was caught by the police and thrown in jail. And this isn't like Kitty jail. This is like she is in straight jackets and thrown in a full-on cell. She had every single guard in the entire prison pointing their guns at her when she first arrived. Which is pretty awesome. And so she leaves a message to Kick-Ass and, you know, the rest of Justice Forever, whatever the fuck their name was. And it was with instructions and a plan for how to break out of prison. So the Kick-Ass and his two friends and everyone else, they gather all together, they suit up, like, yeah, let's do this. They go to try to break in, they use the key card, and then a guard says, hey, who's out there? They all just check out and run away.
Awesome.
So then months pass, Hit Girl's still in jail, and every superhero is kind of crashing at her pad. You know, she has her whole like secret bunker thing. Everyone is staying there. There's one guy who actually has like a ring around this chair that is basically just his dirty laundry. He has beer cans everywhere. His girlfriend is taking the Hit Girl branded sports car out to get groceries. So things are on hard times for the superheroes right now.
You don't say.
Yeah. And this, it honestly kind of feels like we've taken a step backwards. Like in Kick-Ass 1, it was all a big thing of the series is that Kick-Ass, he sucked. He didn't know how to do anything. He was just kind of flailing wildly and hoping something good would happen. And a lot of it was him fucking up. In Kick-Ass 2, he started to become a bit more competent because, you know, Hit Girl was training him. And so he was able to actually do relatively well in a fight. He was able to, you know, rally the troops and stuff. He led the fucking superhero army against the supervillain army. And then in this one, he is back to fucking up again.
Doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah, he was like trying to find. It was him and a buddy of his. They were doing some like detective work stuff. And so they found a guy's apartment. So they were going to crash in there. The friend went through the front door of the apartment complex, but then Kick-Ass decided to rappel down from the ceiling, from the roof. So he rappelled down, he crashed through the window, and then it just, oh fuck, and he lands on his ass. And yeah, it...
Really?
Yeah, they did that old joke. And it felt like a step backwards. And Kick-Ass, you couldn't even get the superheroes off their asses to do anything. They're all just sitting around like, fuck off. I'm just crashing here. I don't give a shit. It's rent-free. You know, before, you know, leading the superhero army into battle. But now he can't even get them to pick up their goddamn laundry. And I honestly don't know if he actually wants to break Hit Girl out. Because after, you know, the initial plans fails, they just kind of do nothing for months. And then when this happens, he's like, you know, Hit Girl was here, she wouldn't like you doing this, she would cut you the fuck up. But he doesn't actually make any verbal efforts of saying, hey, let's try breaking her out again. She just, hey, don't do it, she wouldn't like that. Even though she's not here, she wouldn't like it.
You'd think one prison break attempt wouldn't be enough for trying to save Hit Girl.
Yeah, like Kick-Ass, for all his faults, he is tenacious. Like, remember, the first time he went out there superheroing, he got beaten so bad, he was almost dead. But then, the next week, like after he heals up, he's like, all right, fucking superheroes, wow! You'd think he'd, you know, try more than one attempt.
He is the very poster boy for, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah. But nope, one attempt, and we just didn't do this. Hit Girl wouldn't like it. I'm not going to go rescue her or anything, but she wouldn't like it.
She wouldn't like you not getting her out of prison.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't surprise me if she's already out and is just avoiding him. Because Hit Girl, she'd probably be able to bust out on her own. I mean, I'm surprised she didn't already wheel her way out of the straitjacket by the time they failed their attempt, which took like 7 seconds. Like, all right, let's do this. Fuck, run away! And she was already out of the straitjacket and climbing the fence.
I get the feeling that putting her in prison is would be a bit like putting Rorschach in prison.
Yeah, wouldn't turn out well. And I'm pretty sure they put her in a like regular male prison. Which seems bad. Seems really bad. Like, the reason I say this is because all the guards are guys. And male guards at a female prison seems ill-advised, too. If TV has led me to believe anything. Putting male guards in a female prison leads to a lot of rape.
Well, it's not that it's ill-advised or it's any tropes. It's not respecting human rights.
Okay.
Yeah, there are human rights rules for prisoners.
Yeah, I know that.
Oddly enough.
I know that.
I was saying that for the audience.
Yeah, prisoners are still people. So anyway. Yeah, Kick-Ass 3. It wasn't bad. Like, the art's still really good from John Romita Jr. It's still really great. But the story, it feels like a devolution of the Formula 7 evolution. Like, now they have done a full-on superhero war. They are doing all this shit. They are known quantities. And it's just back to standard bullshit. There is actually one kind of funny Batman scene where, so Kick-Ass and the guy, they're Kick-Ass and his friend, they're going into a bar to try to find information about something. I can't remember what it was. Then all the lights turn out. Then the lights turn back on, and Kick-Ass is standing on the pool table like Batman with his clubs out, asking questions. And the bartender's like, dude, get the fuck off the pool table. You're getting it dirty. And then the lights turn off, and then he's gone. They turn back on, and he's gone again. And the guy's like, bartender's like, fucking kids. Every time. That was actually a pretty good scene. But overall, it wasn't a great first impression for me. Well, for Kick-Ass 3, anyway. So yeah, moving on to my next pick. Well, my first pick. Superman Unchained. This is the Scott Snyder, Jim Lee Superman story that they've been pimping for months now. And it was pretty good. So it started out in Nagasaki when the bomb dropped. Only it turns out the bomb wasn't a bomb. It was a Superman.
Really? They're going with that angle?
Yep. It's a Superman. Yeah, so it starts out with a bunch of, like, the family just, well, two people just hanging out. You know, one of the guy's kids is there. They're just like, hanging out, talking stuff. The kid goes outside and looks up in the binoculars, and then he sees a plane pass over, and then drops a bomb. The bomb starts breaking apart. And then we see a man on blue fire with glowing red eyes. And then cut to the future. Where space debris is being thrown out of the sky, and Superman is there trying to stop it. And so he stops seven pieces of the thing falling out of the sky. He saves two astronauts. Everything's hunky-dory. And Superman, doing something that I've actually wanted to do for a while now, is working from home on a website.
We should hire Superman. Or we should try to propagate the myth that Superman works for us.
Oh, please. We don't have anywhere near that high journalistic integrity or standards. Remember, he worked for, like, a proper-ass thing. I've written articles that were sentences. Like, one or two sentences. Anyway. Yeah, so he's working from home. He's typing out, like, Superman stuff. And then Lois Lane calls him to eat him out. Because he said a wrong thing. Because, see, in this world, there is some technological terrorist organization. And people are believing that, oh, hey, they were the ones who tried to drop this space debris out of the sky on top of people. And Superman doesn't believe it. He thinks that it's too small scale for them or something. Or too big a scale for them or something. The scale is wrong for them. So he figures, hey, it's Lex Luthor. Because when isn't it?
Pretty much. If shit's going down, it's Lex Luthor.
But keep in mind, in this world, Lex Luthor is in as close of an equivalent to the Pandorica as it can be. Like, that's the thing from Doctor Who, right? The giant cube?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a similar thing to that. It's a giant glass box where he is locked up with, like, 10 different kinds of locks around his head. If he moves or touches the side of the cage, everything blows up and wipes out the entire island. And the whale is like basically every single form. Basically, if he does anything, an antimatter bomb goes off in his face.
Okay, that seems a bit extreme, but okay.
Yeah, and also in this world, Lex Luthor has had a giant scar and like a huge chunk of skin missing from his head. He's also freaking the balls out. But now he is, you know, a regular skinned dude. Everything's fine. He's still bald. And he's being transported to maximum security prison. But then the helicopter gets like taken over by the other inmates. But he's just kind of sitting back like, meh, fuck it, I don't care. Because, you know, he's Lex Luthor. But yeah. So
the other inmates are trying to escape. He's just like, fuck it, I can do more damage from in here.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's what Clark's thinking is. Like he's thinking that, oh, hey, Lex Luthor, he's staying in prison. He's going to have some kind of deniability in this. But I know it's him. I fucking know it's him. Yeah, so Clark in his article doesn't mention, like, the terrorist group because he doesn't believe they're involved. He believes Lex Luthor's involved. But, and he also gets a number of things that fell to the sky wrong. Because as Superman, he stopped 7 things from dropping. But it turns out 8 things fell from orbit. He goes and finds one of those things in the ocean. And sees a handprint on it, like bent into it or something. Then a U.S. submarine shows up and shoots him with a torpedo.
Very kind of them.
Yeah. And so we cut to some secret underground military facility run by Lois Lane's dad. And it's revealed that they have a Superman. And the U.S. government has had a Superman for 75 years. And we see him, and he looks a lot like the Reverse Flash.
Okay.
Weirdly enough. You can see, they recently reintroduced the Reverse Flash, and his costume, instead of being red on yellow, it is now red on black. And it looks like he has basically rocks fur armor instead of, you know, a regular super suit. And he looks great. So imagine that, but blue and worse. Like, the guy even has
imagine
a
this
red...
great costume, but imagine it really terrible.
Like, he even has a weird red symbol in the middle of his chest that is also burning, but with red fire instead of blue for some reason. He's living in a giant crystal because, you know, crystals are a thing that Superman has, right? That's all the kryptonite. That's all the Kryptonian society. It's all crystals, fucking crystals. But yeah, I do like Ragnarok a lot. I have been Ragnarok a lot. I do actually kind of like it. Like, the idea of having an evil Superman is rote and stupid and done to death. And the design isn't great. The story still has some good moments in it. Like, Scott Snyder is a really great writer. So, like, the dialogue and stuff that's happening in there is really good. The character reaction stuff. The Superman's internal monologue is pretty good. The art is fantastic. Jim Lee is a fantastic artist. And that really shows. But it's unfortunate they had these other things that are happening in the story that I really don't like. Like the redesign of the Superman, like the redesign of the design of like evil Superman, from what I've seen of it so far, it could get better as the series goes on. Like, it might just be because I've only seen him in either distant, like either at a distance or at like really close up stuff, and he could look different when he's moving. Like, he could actually look like a person instead of like a humanoid crystal.
Could be better in the mid range.
Yeah, could be. Who knows? And I will be honest, it could be cool seeing a Jim Lee drawn Superman versus Superman fight. But the idea of an evil Superman is kind of It's overdone. It's been done to death by fucking everybody.
It's never really good.
Not really. But it seems they're going that well for the Superman is kind of like Doomsday, where Superman Unchained, he is the unchained Superman. Superman is, you know, the one who keeps back, the one who holds back, the one who makes sure to like minimize collateral damage as much as possible when he's punching a giant rock monster through 17 buildings. This Superman, like then the U.S. government Superman, is the equivalent of a nuclear bomb. So, you know, controlled versus fucking bedlam of Superman. Those two going together. It could be not bad. But I am skeptical of this. So, moving on to your next pick.
I chose Six-Gun Gorilla.
Six-Gun Gorilla. Oh, Six-Gun Gorilla. So, with this, it's at some point in the future, there's a war going on, and the soldiers in that war, well, like a lot of the, like, small infantry dudes, they are death row inmates or suicidal people. They have like the mortality rate of, I'm not sure what's a high or low mortality rate. Like, if the number's low, does that mean it's a good or bad thing? I never really understood mortality rates. But anyway, they have the life expectancy of a mayfly.
Okay.
Yeah, so like when we're first introduced to them, we see all these guys. It's like that. It's like this one's like schizophrenic, trying to kill herself a bunch of times. So they figure, hey, why not? That one is just fucking insane. This one's like a death row inmate. What's your excuse? It's like, oh, I lost everything. Like, my wife's gone. My family's dead. I have nothing left to live for. So they figure, yeah, why not? And so they all go into the field, and it turns out that in the field, all these like mobile infantry guys are given like implants. Technological tumors input into their heads that turn their eyes into cameras. So it's all broadcast back to the main city so that people can watch the war and like experience the splendor of war without actually having to go to war. Like they have some kind of Oculus, like they have some kind of Oculus Rift thing on that gives them like a first person perspective of war. And they're like, oh yeah, fuck, this is awesome. I'm at war and shit. This thing is awesome. Do you have, are there any real danger? You're actually going to war? Fuck no, I'm just watching it. And, you know, that actually makes sense. Like, where technology is going and what we know about today, that actually makes some sense.
Sadly enough, yes, it does.
Yeah. And so, as they're going out, this guy, I can't remember his name, but he meets up with a general who was blown to fuck. And he said, hey, my wife is back home. Can you try to give her this ring and give these people this message? I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And then the main guy is being cornered by the, you know, enemy units. But then a gorilla shows up wearing a cowboy cloak and a fucking like belt with guns in it. He just shows up and says, howdy. And that's it. That's the first issue.
Okay, then. Like, it all seemed to have a plot that made a lot of sense and it flowed well.
And a gorilla.
And then there was a fucking gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah, but it works. It really does work. It was really good. Like, the art style, it has a very fluid, I guess, motion to it, where all the guys, they're able to, like, they move in such a way that kind of looks like they're like fluid sacks, but it's a way that I really like. While it's not exactly a detailed art style, it still manages to get across the idea of what it's going for just fine, and I really liked it. And the writing, it was pretty good. Like, I like the writing. It was an interesting world that actually fell within the realms of reality for like where society could be going. It's a possibility for the future, which I am. It's a possibility that I could totally see happening. And yeah, so this, and the main guy, he actually dreamed about like the Six-Gun Gorilla coming to him beforehand. Just doing a quick over now, because it turns out this guy, he really liked the pulp stories at the libraries where he used to work. And I guess he read a pulp story about a gorilla with guns. And also in this future,
pulp story.
Yeah, and also in this future, the infantry units are sent out on the backs of giant turtles. Yep. There are giant turtles with fucking weird bullshit things, and they have like giant canisters of something on their backs with giant cannons on it and shit. The guns they use don't actually fire bullets. I don't know how, but
fire.
I'm looking for that right now. I'm just looking into it. But the fact that the gorilla uses real guns and real bullets is actually a huge shock to these guys. It's like, what? You're not allowed to use real bullets in war, man. But so I'm going through this right now, trying to find it. Come on, where is it? Where the fuck is it? I know it's here somewhere. Yeah. Oh wait. Yeah. So the real guns aren't supposed to work out there, like something. And I think they might use like water or gas guns, maybe. Yeah, I couldn't actually find it, but it is a cool world that they set up here. It is a cool world with interesting art. Now that I've actually looked at it, while it is kind of fluidy, it's not as bad. It's not as like to that degree that I said it was before.
Okay.
But all the guys move with a pretty good fluidity to them. And yeah, there's actually quite a bit of detail. Like, I don't know where I came up with that art style I came with up before. But I'm terrible at describing art, okay? But like on the people, there's not a lot of detail, but on like the world itself, like on the non-human things like the gorilla, you can actually see like a lot of the individual hairs on them. On the turtles, you could see every single like divot in their shell. And they look really cool. And this world is really cool. If you get a chance to check it out, it is Six Gun Gorilla from Boom Studios. It is a really cool first issue. I really liked it. Yeah. So then moving on to my last pick, Wolverine the X-Men issue 31, the start of the Hellfire Saga. So for the last few issues, Wolverine and his students at the Jean Grey Academy for Higher Learning, they have been going off and doing like training exercises and stuff. And then during those times, horrible things have been happening. Like one guy, Brew, who is a member of this piece of alien called the Brood, which are normally like animalistic, fucking horrible creatures that will eat everything in the sight. This guy is well-spoken, shy, socially awkward, like well-read. He wears glasses. He got shot in the face by a robotic priest.
Okay.
His brain was fixed, but then he reverted back into regular Brood. They reverted back to regular Brood, so he wasn't Brew anymore. Then on a training mission in the Savage Lands, Wolverine's younger brother, who's a time traveler, shows up and tries to out-teach his brother by giving all the students guns.
Okay.
And he also started bringing back like cowboys and gangsters and robots and killer aliens and shit from different periods in time to try to kill all these kids to show that he's a better teacher and he's able to teach them like better survival skills. It didn't work. Well, it worked for one of the kids. Well, it worked for one of the kids, Eye Boy, whose mutation is he has eyes everywhere on his body. It turns out that because of all those eyes, he has insane accuracy with a gun.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But it works. I think it's pretty cool, so shut up. So anyway, while all these things have been happening, the new Hellfire Club, which for those who don't know, the Hellfire Club it was like the main focus of the first Class movie, like Sebastian Shaw and the whole mutant uprising thing. Only now the Hellfire Club is run by 4 10-year-old humans who are all evil.
That sounds like a good progression.
Yeah, one of them being the descendant of Dr. Frankenstein. Like, not even kidding.
Well, at least they'll do good science.
Yeah, that's the stick. He's the science guy. We have a business guy, we have a black guy, and we have the girl. And the girl is a sociopath who I'm pretty sure pickles human body parts for fun. So anyway, so what's been happening is they've been going around and actually recruiting people. They've been finding people that the X-Men have fought, or people who are actually members of the X-Men, like actual students from the Jean Grey Academy, and recruiting them to the Hellfire Academy, a school dedicated to teaching them how to be evil.
Wow, that's worse than having Slytherin House. It's a whole school dedicated to evil, and anyone who leaves the Jean Grey school to go there deserves a good slap in the face from Wolverine with the claws out.
Well, except two people. Idy, who went there to try to figure out who had Brew shot, and Quentin Quire, who went there to try to stop Idy from doing something really stupid.
Okay, both of those are reasonable.
The rest of them are just idiots. It's like, oh man, fuck Wolverine, I want to be evil now. And so, yeah, we have, in terms of teachers, we have Mystique, like Mondo, who's some weird evil thing, an evil pterodactyl, who's like an enemy of the X-Men for fucking decades, the Wendigo from Canada, which is an evil version of Sasquatch. And basically all it is, hey, go in here, do something evil. You failed because you didn't do it evil enough. And I really liked it.
All right.
The writing is really great in this one. Quentin Quire gets a lot of the thing, and he's actually a pretty good character. Like when he first started out, he was like a whiny little emo bitch. But in a pattern that seems to be really happening a lot with Marvel is introducing characters who are absolute little shit dicks, but then turn into really good characters. Like the same thing happened with Alpha.
Right. And we discussed this, I think, last week. Alpha went from being terrible and hated to being like a character you love.
I actually really like his character. I just finished up Alpha big time, and it's really good. With actual consequences to what he does, and him learning from his mistakes, and actual showing fucking growth. And it was awesome. But yeah. So with this one, it is Quentin Quire. He's still kind of like a little bit whiny bitch, but he is actually pretty good at what he does now, and he's a pretty good character now. He's an asshole, but he's a likable asshole. So yeah, he is at the Jean Grey school. So he's at the Hellfire Academy trying to, you know, infiltrate them and do all that bullshit. And yeah, I really like this. So this issue features the return of Nick Bradshaw on pencils. Nick Bradshaw is a fantastic artist that I fucking love. He is a goddamn great artist. And for the last few issues, we've had some other guy who his artwork is a slightly better version of what the artwork's been like in Captain Marvel. If you've been reading that recently, then you know how shit that artwork is. Just imagine that, but not as shit. Nick Bradshaw is leaps and bounds above all of them.
I don't read Captain Marvel, so I don't know the artwork you're talking about.
It's bullshit anime artwork. Like, terrible anime artwork. It's anime artwork by people who don't know what anime is. Yeah. So that is... This is fucking... This is a great issue. Seeing the Hellfire Academy having built this new school and seeing how things are done there, it is really fun. And at one point... Science gets its own bubble.
Yay, science.
Yeah, and it's its own speech bubble from a pterodactyl in a lab coat. So, take that, other sciences. We have a pterodactyl in a lab coat. You just have a guy in a lab coat.
Fuck you, our science is better.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, yeah, if you aren't reading... The X-Men, Wolverine the X-Men, you really should. It's a really great series. Really pick up the issues with Nick Bradshaw doing the pencils. If someone else is doing the pencils, you can get it from the story, but the artwork will not be as good.
Duly noted.
Yeah, then Bobby Wan, what have you been reading recently?
Okay, so what I've been reading. I just have one series to talk about. I have read the entire series, though. It's only 8 issues long, so it's not too much of an investment. Star Trek The Next Generation, Doctor Who Assimilation.
Okay.
It's a mouthful of a title, but...
Mm-hmm. So this is the one, I think... I've seen this around... But isn't this one with, like, the Cybermen and the Borg?
Yes. The main thing is a whole interaction between the Cybermen and the Borg. So, issue one jumps off with a Borg / Cyberman invasion.
Oh, joy.
On the planet. Because the Borg and the Cybermen have formed an alliance. Imagine that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It kind of does. And yet it kind of doesn't. Spoiler alert, the alliance doesn't last very long.
Really? Who would have thunk it? They're both like organizations and like groups of things that work so well with others. They really know how to put the team together or some promotional thing. I don't know.
After we see this invasion happening, we see the Doctor, Amy, and Rory going through some antics. Antics.
As they do.
And then they decide to go to San Francisco, but instead, they end up on the holodeck. During a Dixon Hill story. And it's kind of given away that they are not where they're supposed to be when they see Data.
Is this Data chip with an emotion data chip? I mean Data?
This is the Data chip. The emotion chip is under control, Data.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I really know nothing about Star Trek, except for what I've seen in nostalgic reviews.
That was when he first gets the emotion chip, and it's kind of out of control. Mm-hmm. It gets under control after that. So, in the following issues, what happens is, of course, there's interactions between the crew of the Enterprise and the Doctor and his gang. Then they have to start dealing with the fact that there's a Borg-Cyberman alliance, / there is no longer a Borg-Cyberman alliance.
Oh, those fickle alliances with assimilating races.
The actual main plot of it is that the entire alliance was basically a Cyberman plot to infiltrate a new universe, convince the Borg that they were similar enough to form an alliance, learn their weaknesses enough to take them over and begin converting them all and adapting all of their technology.
Yeah, just a question. Just clarification. What exactly are the Borg? The thing I really know about them is cubes and face tech.
Well, they're very similar to the Cybermen, except where the Cybermen put human parts into a robot, the Borg put robot parts into humans.
Okay, but they're both, like, the Borg is entirely technological. They are not. I remember hearing something about Borg worms.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm not that deep into the Next Generation.
Yeah, like, isn't one of the characters like 7 of 9 formerly a Borg or currently a Borg or something, but like not part of the collective?
Oh, 7 of 9 is later than Next Generation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know any of this shit. I just know Jerry Ryan looks good in that costume.
Anyway. So, this being the major plot, there's, of course, things to deal with, like Picard's past with the Borg, in that he was at one point assimilated.
Yeah, he was, like, he was head up in there. He was important.
Yeah. He was basically used to kill a lot of people.
Yeah. Which is never fun. You always want to be conscious of your killing.
So yeah, story-wise, it's a good series. It plays well off of the characters and does a very good job of having them interact in a rewarding way without just being a fangasm.
That's good.
Of course, there are certain things they put in there to, you know, satisfy the fangasm that comes with such a crossover series. One is Picard actually does say, "Make it so, Doctor."
And we're just like, oh my god!
And the one part I definitely thought was superfluous was they added in the original series cast with the fourth Doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, the story they basically went with was that the Cybermen had come into this universe before to sort of lay the groundwork. And then the Doctor showed up and dealt with them, but they weren't really completely dealt with. And he went on his merry way, but he forgot for some reason. Because time was messed with.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Basically, wibbly wobbly timey wimey made his memory fuck up. So I feel like that was just an excuse to be able to, you know, throw another Doctor in there and throw Kirk's crew in there.
Like, oh my god, all the things, this is so awesome. I just jizzed my pants.
I just had a point in mind. Right, the whole idea with the old Cybermen invading and then the new Cybermen coming. Here's the thing. The old Cybermen, new Cybermen divide. There's a reason for it. Okay. I'm going to go like deep fan nerddom here. The original Cybermen were created in our universe on an alien planet.
Yeah, wasn't it like a mirror planet to ours or something?
Yeah, it was pretty much. But this is in our universe. That's how the original Cybermen were created. They look very different from the Cybermen of today's series. Why do they look different? Because the Cybermen of today's series are not our universe's Cybermen.
Nope, they're from an entirely different universe where they have Zeppelins.
Yes, they look different because they were developed on Earth in a different universe. Now, here's my issue. Is that the old Cybermen start the invasion that is then completed by the new Cybermen, which are two entirely separate groups of Cybermen.
Mm-hmm. So the new Cybermen, do they have like the weird super speed thing that the Cybermen had in like the one of the more recent episodes of Doctor Who?
I haven't seen that recent episode. Whatever it is that did just Stephen Moffat being stupid, probably.
Yeah. They have super speed.
I won't claim to know a huge amount about the Doctor Who universe, but that means that when I do know stuff, it bugs me when it's gotten wrong, because that means everybody should know it. Well, not everybody, but it means
if you're writing it,
writing
you should
know it. Should know it. By the way, the whole different universe thing is why gold isn't supposed to work. Or, it never really gets discussed, but it's assumed that that's why gold was never supposed to work.
Oh, so like, I guess the newer Cybermen are from our universe then, because gold works on them.
Well, no. It's never explicitly said that. It's just fans explained it away with that. Now, the main reason they got rid of gold was that it was a stupid fucking weakness.
Yeah.
But Stephen Moffat is just like, I want to bring back the old things.
Yeah, it's like, there's still some, like, Like it's made away in the show of it being some kind of, it was like the base code that the Cybermen program was written on is still susceptible to gold, so even having a golden ticket slapped against your face works.
Okay, that's wrong.
It's idiotic.
See, no. The people who wrote this comic, let me just look up some names right now, because I went and scrolled through the entire thing while describing it. I'll be there shortly. God dang it. Okay, almost there.
Hit the home button.
There we go. Okay, so it was written by Scott and David Tipton and Tony Lee. Now, they actually looked up the reason why gold works on Cybermen.
And why is that?
Gold flakes short out their respirators.
They breathe?
Do they have a brain?
You don't need... They could find some other bullshit to do with that. They don't need to breathe.
No,
they're robots.
You need oxygen in your brain. So the technology they use to take in air to get oxygen gets fucked up by gold.
They can't do some bullshit science and make oxygen some other way?
You can't make something out of nothing.
Electrify water. Do some weird science on water that separates it into hydrogen and oxygen.
Let me get this straight.
Other science thing.
They could pull out and purify oxygen from air, which is almost always around them. Or they could fill up a tank of water every so often, electrolysis the oxygen out of it, which, by the way, leaves them with hydrogen, which is highly explosive.
I said do some bullshit science, okay? Don't try to bring logic into this. This is fucking Doctor Who. This is a fucking world where the original crew of the fucking USS Enterprise meets up with the fourth Doctor, the 11th Doctor, and the crew of Next Generation to fight the Borg and the Cybermen from two different universes.
No. The two meetings of the Doctor are completely separate. The original...
Fuck everything, okay? This is fucking stupid.
The original series cast meets the fourth Doctor. The 11th Doctor meets the Next Generation. If you leave behind that stuff, it is once again, it's a good series. If you can get over fandom nitpickiness, it is a good comic series.
You realize you just asked Trekkies and Doctor Who fans to get over nitpickiness.
I know, and to a degree, I couldn't. I'm like, oh, this is wrong, but I still enjoy it.
Like, oh my god, everything's wrong, but it's still pretty good.
Well, you know what? They got fewer things wrong than Stephen Moffat. Seriously, if you're going to nitpick Doctor Who things, just watch the show.
Yeah.
You'll have plenty to rage at there, unless you're one of those people who just, you know, decides that if Stephen Moffat says that it is law, for he is almighty God.
He's not.
No, Joss Whedon is. Firmly established.
Yeah. But Joss Whedon doesn't understand how headphones work, like earpieces for communication. It's like, where are they? It's like putting your hand up to your ear makes you psychic.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if your cat... I guess if your cat in America, it does. Because America.
Okay. So, anyways, yeah, the story does play pretty well. The different factions and characters from the different universes play off each other well. There's a couple good little funny interactions. My favorite, though, is Amy and Rory are with Worf. And Rory's basically being Rory and almost gets shot by some Cybermen. Worf just picks up Rory, puts him next to Amy, and says, keep him out of trouble.
Okay, That's pretty good.
And just sort of the Doctor's general ogling of Data is also kind of funny.
Wait. Ogling.
Well, he's just, you know, going over the robotics and how cool it is and asking him questions about how he's built but not really giving him time to respond. And
there's a fanfic out there somewhere.
Oh, of course there is.
There are people shipping Dr. Data really hard. And I'm okay with that.
my God.
And there's probably someone shipping Rory Worf too.
You know who else I think would be shipped is Rory Crusher. They don't have very much interaction, but Crusher's the medical officer, and Rory is a nurse, and
does Rory ever say shut up, Wesley?
Who's?
I mean, no, that's okay. I don't know, Dana Crusher. Yeah, Dana Crusher. Well, I was thinking Wesley.
And Rory is like in the same general vicinity of as her at one point.
Oh, that's a Crusher. Okay. I was thinking of the wrong Crusher.
Yeah, I guess there's two Crushers that I should have specified, but Wesley's always Wesley.
Yeah, shut up, Wesley.
So, I'm going to talk...
Keep in mind, folks, I know nothing about Star Trek.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to take a moment to talk about the artwork, which is by J.K. Woodward. It's a very interesting style. It has an old comic feel while also looking modern. It looks very unrealistic while also looking very realistic. And sometimes that's just shifting from time to time, and sometimes it's like, this both looks very realistic, almost like it's a picture, but at the same time, I'm very, very aware that I'm looking at a drawing. It gets sort of uncanny valley.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It looks kind of watercolory at times.
Yeah, I was just about to say that myself. Watercolory or oil paintings or smudge paintings or it stylistically tosses things up.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I don't think looks like themselves enough is Rory. Like, I'm trying to find a scene where Rory, like, just looks like Rory. I'm not really seeing any.
There's a scene where the Doctor looks positively evil.
Yeah, there's a couple of those.
And then, like, and it's right next to, like, an image of Amy Pond with, like, her eyes twice the size they usually are, looking like fucking Red Sonja.
So, yeah, it's very interesting art. I really don't know what to... It's completely different from the cover art, which the cover art is, like, classic Star Trek comics. I don't know what to think of it. It's... a lot of the scenes, I'm like, this is beautiful. And a lot of the scenes, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Oh, by the way, one of the final scenes of the comic, it looks like Worf's doing the robot in the background.
That is the mating dance of the mating dance. He's trying to seduce Rory. Hey Rory, kapla. Worf's Klingon, right?
Yes, he's a Klingon.
Okay, I think I was thinking of the Ferengi. Which sounds completely different. Yeah. Kapla. Then does the robot. Then they pull out their giant blades to fuck each other with them.
If you enjoy The Next Generation or Doctor Who, and this is even if you don't like the current series stuff, I would encourage you to read the series. It's a very good crossover series. The one thing I will say is that I don't consider this to be very spoiler because, of course, it had to happen. At the end, a sort of bullshit thing happens to make it as if none of this ever happened, so there's no impact on the Star Trek universe.
Of course. Read the status quo.
There is technically a very slight impact on the Star Trek universe. Any characters that have become aware of the Doctor are aware of the Doctor. Which includes the Borg.
Okay, look forward. None of this impact on the overall Star Trek universe.
Well, considering that the show that's related to it has stopped and nobody comic cares books, about any ones that are currently running, it might impact the comic books slightly. Like, the Borg might try to develop time travel. That might be a thing. There might be another assimilation series. Daleks will come in somehow.
Exterminate.
But everyone knows they don't form alliances at all.
Nope.
The Cybermen tried that.
Yep.
And it led to the best trash talking ever.
Yeah. So, anything else to say about it then?
No, that's just about it.
Okay. So, that does it for Wolverine, then. On to news. So, our first piece of news, we had two casting updates for the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. First up, Benicio del Toro has signed on. I am not sure if I'm not sure like what his role has been specified yet, but I think I read somewhere that he could be like a villain.
Well, and he's also the eyebrows.
Yeah. And he's also signed a deal. He also signed him a deal with the option to appear in multiple movies, so he could be appearing in multiple Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so our second character, is John C. Reilly. He'll be playing Roman Day, the leader of the Nova Corps.
Still just waiting to find out who's Rocket Raccoon.
Yep. But they won't tell us because they hate us.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. So, moving on to our next piece of news. So, Bobby-Wan, have you ever watched Clueless Gamer with Conan O'Brien?
No, I haven't.
So, for those who don't know, Clueless Gamer is this series of videos and like little skits, little bits on his like show on fucking TBS, where Conan O'Brien, the host of Conan, and a friend of his who works in the show, they play video games. Conan doesn't play video games. He says it's like at the beginning of every video. Like, he doesn't know anything about video games. He doesn't play video games. He doesn't like video games that much. But he still plays them because peer pressure, I guess. And so recently,
because he wants to get viewers.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to pander. And so recently he played Injustice Gods Among Us. And in that, it was revealed that Zod, General Zod, would be the next DLC character for Injustice.
Hooray, we get a Superman.
Yeah. And it also showed off some gameplay footage of the Flaming Sea, the character that Conan and DC Animated Universe guy Bruce Timm created, which is Conan O'Brien, but he is in a cape with like a chain and a big like frilly shoulder pad thing on, women's leggings, knee socks, golf shoes, and panties.
Oh, okay, then.
He was playable.
If you're into that sort of thing.
He was playable! Like, what? Just, no. It's stupid. But yeah, so that video should be up on the site now. You get to check out some Zod gameplay. And see how he plays, like, Superman. And also how he's really goddamn skinny. Like, he looks a lot like Lex Luthor. Which I'm not okay with.
Zod should not look like Lex Luthor.
Zod should look like fucking Zod. He should look like Terrence Stamp. Well, at least he has a beard. But he's bald.
The beard is key.
Yeah, Zod has a beard. Let's move on to the next piece of news. So Marvel and Disney have announced that two new films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe will be coming out for... Let's see here. On May 6th, 2016, and May 5th, 2015. What are these movies? We don't know. They've just locked They've just locked down the dates. They said, hey, in May of 2016 and 2017, things are coming.
Marvel, I expect you to release a movie every year, so I'm not really surprised.
Yeah. And it looks like it's coming out around Avengers time. Because Avengers came out like May... it came out May 2012. Avengers 2 is coming out May 2015. This is May 2016 and May 2017. Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. What's new in the new 52 updates? So, first up, we have a new villain coming to Earth 2, Brutal, who looks kind of like Ares, crossed with that destroyer thing from the Thor movie. And then we have Decay, part of the upcoming Psywar event, which he has already appeared in Superboy, and he was pretty cool. He's basically like this giant psychic bone demon.
Pretty badass.
Yeah. Then we have the League of Assassins Secret City, which is a giant underground city with a statue of Ra's al Ghul holding a giant glowing orb while man bats fly around the city. Because remember, Talia al Ghul has an army of man bats.
That is terrifying.
Yes. And they're ninjas, too.
Fucking ninja man bats.
Yeah. So coming next month to Phantom Stranger, we have Zoriel, a character I believe he was created by Grant Morrison, who is an angel with the flaming sword. Then, increasing the stupidity of Katana, we have the villain Swagger. Swagger.
I don't want to read comic books anymore.
Well, and then finally, we have the return of Brainiac, who will be appearing this September for his Villains Month one-shot, because in September, all the villains are getting their own independent issues in their comics. Like the heroes, they will be supplanted by the villains for those comics. And we've seen Brainiac a bit as the Collector, but now we'll be like, I guess now we'll be seeing him either pre-coming to Earth or doing something more important on Earth than just, hey, I'ma do things. Oh, well. So then also coming up, we have the Hive Queen. Hive is an organization. I believe that they've been fighting the Teen Titans a lot. I believe they fought the Teen Titans a lot. But this time they'll be fighting Superman as part of Psywar. Oh, yeah. That is a thing. Oh, yeah. In the Superboy books, Dr. Psycho, I believe that's his name or something, he has been, you know, pimping, like, oh my god, Hive's trying to find all the psychics and weaponize them and stuff and trying to get Superboy to help him because Superboy is, remember, psychic. He has tactile telekinesis.
Right.
Because he's awesome and way better than Superman. Yeah, so Hive could be showing up. Next up, we got Exeter. We don't really know that much about Exeter. She'll be appearing in this week's, actually, I don't know why did I say she? The Exeter will be appearing in Green Lantern New Guardians issue 21. And is a he. I don't know why I said she. But yeah. He'll be appearing in New Guardians, but there was no picture of him, so I don't know what he looks like. Even though this article says in the picture above. And there's no picture
above.
Someone
goofed.
Yeah. God damn it, Bob Harris. Supposed to be an editor-in-chief. Edit-in-chief stuff. And then finally, we have the return of Doomsday.
Oh, joy. Is everyone like him as a villain?
He has tentacles.
What the fuck? No, yeah. This isn't actually Doomsday. This is the love child of Doomsday and Slenderman.
Yeah, like, I'm guessing that they're not actually tentacles, just like an artist rendition thing, but the rocks on his fists look like tentacles. The rocks on his chin look like tentacles. It's really weird.
Now we just need Selena Kyle to make the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, so, then moving on to our next piece of news. We're getting a Superman Wonder Woman series.
No, Superman Wonder Woman. No.
And it's really a shame we're getting this because it's from two people I really like. So the series is being written by Swamp Thing writer Charles Soule and is being drawn by Action Comics artist Tony Daniel. They're awesome, okay? But no! everyone should be vehemently denying that this relationship exists. It was a stupid idea meant to sell comics.
Pretty much.
God fucking damn it.
Deadman forgot even how to be angry. That's how angry he got.
Yeah. I'm just sad now. I'm a broken, broken man. And now I'm even more broken because Sony has announced The Amazing Spider-Man 3 and 4 for 2016 and 2018. Because money.
Well, yeah, because they don't want to let go of the rights, right?
Yeah. I'm actually surprised they haven't rebooted it already. Like, they just cancel Amazing Spider-Man 2 and just reboot the series with the Ultimate Spider-Man. Well, yeah, so Amazing Spider-Man 3 is set for release on June 10th, 2016. And The Amazing Spider-Man 4 is set for release on May 4th, 2018.
Hopefully they give us some villains that don't look like shit.
Hopefully they give us good movies. You know, movies that aren't total dick. Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. DC is teasing their upcoming October Green Lantern event, Lights Out. There was a teaser image that is a green light that says Lights Out in it, and then a bloody power ring. So yay. John Stewart's gonna die? I think that's what this event is. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure this event is like surrounding the thing that actually caused I think John Fialkov IV to quit the Green Lantern book that he was going to be working on because he didn't want to kill John Stewart.
Huh.
But DC was like, no.
Characters die.
DC was like, no, you got to fucking kill him. He's got to die. Yeah, so then moving on to our next piece of news. So, recently, it was announced that James Robinson, the writer of Earth 2, would be departing the series and DC Comics overall. And we've been waiting to hear who the new writer was going to be. And that new writer has been announced. Tom Taylor, the writer of the Injustice Gods Among Us comic series, will be jumping in as writer of Earth 2 as of October's issue number 17. Nicholas Scott will still be remaining as the artist, and yeah, I like her art. She's a good artist. And I haven't actually read the DC, like, the Injustice comic yet. I'm planning to, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So I don't really know how he's going to be writing it. But yeah, so two statements were released from MTV Geek, from Nicholas Scott, and Tom Taylor. And I'm pretty sure Nicholas Scott's a girl. I think so. I'm never too sure, because I've gotten genders mixed up on here, like, in this episode.
Yep.
Yeah, she is a female. And a good one. And a good artist. She's awesome art. So anyway, the first statement from Nicholas Scott reads, "I've had so much fun working on Earth 2 with James Robinson over the last year. While I'm sad to see him go, I'm really looking forward to exploring the ever-expanding mysteries of the title. I'm more excited about moving forward on this journey with my great friend and fellow countryman, Tom Taylor. Not only a charming guy, but a great talent to boot. I can't wait for everyone to see what we have lined up." Then Tom Taylor continued saying, "I'm a big fan of what James and Nicola have created so far with Earth 2, and I'm honored to be adding to this world with his rich characters and its many mysteries. Earth 2 is entering a new age, and I'm thrilled to usher this new age with my good friend and fellow Australian, Nicola Scott." It was good of DC to give Australia our own Earth to play with. We'll try not to wreck the joint.
We are not using a south-oriented map. Fuck that shit.
So moving on to our next piece of news. The next original graphic novel about Spider-Man and stuff, which is coming in May 2014, will introduce Peter Parker's sister.
What?
Well, his apparent quote-unquote sister. in the OGN family business, co-written by Mark Waid and James Robinson, with painted art from Gabrielle Delotto. So USA Today described the OGN as a, quote, tale of international intrigue from New York to Monte Carlo to Cairo to a host of European destinations. So according to this thing, the Kingpin is organizing some huge crime syndicate, and they are targeting Peter Parker. Not Spider-Man. Peter Parker.
Okay.
Yeah. So
why?
The Kingpin... It doesn't say. So yeah, so Peter is trying to figure... So Peter is, like, having people trying to kill him. He's trying to figure out who it is. And then he meets his long-lost sister, Teresa.
She's an assassin.
Presumably. Yeah, but... I like Mark Waid as a writer. James Robinson is great. The art looks pretty good, so I'll be picking this up when I can, when it comes out in May 2014. But if it actually does turn out that she's an assassin, I'll be so pissed. Then moving on to our final piece of news. Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire are joining forces to create Justice League 3000. A new ongoing series which has Justice League in the year 3000.
Oh, okay, what purpose does that serve?
It's in the year 3000. It's the future. Yay. Anyway. So the book is going to be having Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and The Flash, with all new redesigns of the costumes by Howard Porter to show them, you know, these are future versions of them. Like, Superman is a bit more militaristic in his design. Wonder Woman has a giant fucking mace instead of a lasso. Green Lantern now looks like the Spectre. And The Flash... has a bandana over his mouth.
Why?
Because it's the future. Yeah, Batman, he actually does look pretty badass.
Well, yeah, in the future, you know, you can have even more bullshit gadgets, and he'd be much more on equal footing with the other heroes.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman now has pants and shows off less cleavage.
Yay!
Yeah, and also on her left hand, right hand appears to have cat claws.
Oh,
might just be the art, but yeah, it looks like her right hand is designed for scratching. Yeah, Superman. I can't tell if he has spiky shoulders or just a cape that was folded weird on that shoulder. And he doesn't look like he has an S on his chest anymore. It looks like he has an 8 on his chest. And you can actually see the divide in between his shirt and his pants, which is nice.
Odd, but nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's... gonna do it for this week, I guess. Ending on a weird note, but whatever. So thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at Deathstool Prods. I'm at Deadman underscore DD Prods, and we have at Bovion. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Deathstool Prods. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/Deathstool Prods. Vince myself in youtube.com/Bovion for Bovion. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, less, etc. And you can subscribe to us on Stitcher. We're on there. So download the app. Check us out on there. So this week on the website, we're going to be having the Anime Club this Thursday for Kokoro Connect. We're starting out with episodes 1 and 2. Then we'll be having movies this Friday, as well as the commentary track for The Haunting as part of Bad Remake Month. Then this Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll be having the Anything Cast live. Please join us at loggames.com/chat. We'll be here for you guys and think about what we're doing with the website and everything. Then we'll be having games next Tuesday. anime next Thursday, as well as the anime club for episodes 3 and 4 of Kokoro Connect, as well as the commentary track for The Wicker Man to wrap up Bad Remake Month. And who knows, I might release personal issues this week. Who can know? I can't. So yeah. Until all that stuff, I'm the Deadman.
I'm Bobby Wong.
We'll see you guys next time.